To turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to look together at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. You can turn in the Bible in front of you. You can pull it up on the Bible app. You can follow along with the event in the Bible app and take notes on the PowerPoint if you want. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. This is what we hear in Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." As I reflected on those words this week and on the idea of the secret deeds of darkness, I realized that this was not going to be an easy message. Because when we start to think about the secret deeds of darkness, I was reminded of living in a community that was known for the number of churches in its community and the over-religiosity of that community, and yet the fact that it also had rates of domestic violence much higher than the national average. As I thought about the secret deeds of darkness, I was reminded that a West Michigan community was named to a list of the most religious communities with the highest rates of pornography usage. As I reflected on the secret deeds of darkness, I was reminded that even though, as we saw last week, that we are invited on this journey to become like God in true righteousness and holiness, as we saw together last week, that even though we are becoming a new person, the reality is that we aren't there yet. And sometimes those secret deeds of darkness aren't the ones that are so easily quantifiable with statistics. Sometimes the secret deeds of darkness is the gossip that we share wrapped up in the guise of concern. Oh, I'm just worried about this person. But in reality, in our heart, we just want to share what we know or find out more. The secret deeds of darkness aren't always so easily quantifiable in splashy statistics. Sometimes it can be the feelings of anger and hatred that we feel towards somebody who disagrees with us. The secret deeds of darkness, the ways that we still live in this person that we were, the ways that we are not yet who God has created us to be, they don't always show up in the splashy statistics. Sometimes it shows up in the little lies that we tell when somebody says, "Are you upset with me?" And I say, "Well, I'm fine." But then I turn around and I go and complain about that person to my coworker, to my friend, or to my family. The reality is that darkness continues to live in each one of us. Last week, we said it over and over again, and say it with me again this week. I'm becoming a new person. I'm on my way, but I'm not there yet. And today we look together at what it means that we're not there yet. How are we different? How do we know that we are on that journey? How do we know that we're seeing transformation in our lives? How does that change who we are? And how does it change how we intersect and interact with each other? We start in verse 8. Paul says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world." Right, that's that transformation that we saw, that transformation that we see that God invites us to, that we are invited to become a new person. We once were darkness, but now you are light. But it's also important that we take note that verse 8 sets up this whole paragraph, that everything we're going to look at the rest of today is addressed to the community of believers. Right, what we are talking about today, about what it means when we become light and when the deeds of darkness continue to live on in our lives, this is addressed to people who once were darkness but now are light. This is a conversation that is meant to be for the body of believers about how we are transformed when we are light. So here's what that means. I know that in a body like West End, at a worship service like this, I know that we are at all different places in our spiritual journey. Some of us are here this morning and we're not really sure where we stand with Jesus Christ. We maybe haven't made a decision to commit our lives and to follow Jesus Christ. And so I want to be very upfront with you. If you are here this morning and you have not made that commitment to give your life to Christ, I recognize that today's conversation is more or less one that is sort of internally focused. Right, sometimes we walk up to a group of people and they're having a conversation and we sort of walk up to the group and then realize that that conversation isn't one that we really need to participate in and it can be kind of awkward. My hope and my prayer is that today isn't awkward for you. If you're here this morning and this isn't a conversation that is really directed at you because you're not sure that you're really part of the community of believers or you're not sure where you stand with Jesus Christ, I'm glad you're here. And I hope you listen, and I hope you see this conversation as one that is within the community of believers and one that is grounded and rooted in grace and love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. But if there's one thing I hope you take away from today, it's this. I know that some of us, we might look at our lives and we may say, my life is fine. I don't see my life as one of darkness. Why should I commit my life to Jesus? Why should I follow Jesus? My life is just okay. It's good enough as it is. But I want to promise you, friends, that if you aren't sure whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ, if you haven't committed your life to Jesus Christ, I promise you that whatever you think is light in your life right now will be so much brighter on the other side of a commitment to follow Jesus. It will be so much fuller on the other side of a commitment to follow Jesus. I know that because Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have life to the full." And that doesn't mean that our life will suddenly be happy or healthy or wise or wealthy or any of these other measures by which we measure success in this life. But Jesus does promise a fullness of life. And so if you are here this morning and you're listening to this conversation that is internal about the life that God is inviting us to have, the new self that we are invited to put on, and if you're not sure that that's a self that you want to put on, if you're not sure that that's a step you want to take, I want to promise you that if you do, it will be so much better than the best that you have ever experienced so far. Because that is the promise of our God, that the promise of our God is that there is light and there is hope and there is life, even for those of us who don't think or know that we need it. But the reality is that we're on a journey. We're becoming a new person. I'm on my way, but I'm not there yet. So how do I know that I'm being transformed? How do I see the work of God's Spirit at work in my life? Paul says this in verses 8 and 9. He says, "Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Jesus says, "You'll know a tree by its fruit." So what's the fruit that we can expect to bring forth in our lives when we are rooted in the grace and love of Jesus Christ? Paul says goodness, righteousness, and truth. So let's look at each one of those. All right, goodness. In Greek, there are a couple of different words that you can use to talk about something being good. Right, you can use the word kalos, which means beautiful. It's good in the sense of aesthetically pleasing. But that's not the word that Paul uses here. You can also use the word agathos, and agathos has the idea within it of being beneficial. Often in the New Testament, when New Testament writers use this word agathos, when they use this idea of goodness, they're speaking about being generous. And so when Paul says that the fruit of light is goodness, it's not just that we're in general like a good, moral, upright person, though I think that's also going to happen. The fruit of light, the fruit of being in the light of Jesus Christ, is that we will be a blessing to others. Right, that's what we saw this morning with baptism, right? God said to Abraham, I am going to bless those who bless you, I'm going to curse those who curse you, and all nations on earth will be blessed through you. And we believe that in Jesus Christ that promise is fulfilled in its entirety, but we also believe that through that promise that God gave a calling to his people, that the people of God were always meant to be blessed in order to be a blessing, and that as followers of Jesus Christ, the goodness in our lives is measured by the extent to which we are a blessing to those around us. How am I different because of the work of the Holy Spirit? How do I know that I am on this journey towards becoming the new person that is like God in true righteousness and holiness? Am I a blessing to others? Is the way that I use my finances a blessing to others? Is the way that I use my time a blessing to others? Is the way that I interact with others on social media a blessing to others? Is the way that I interact with my friends at school a blessing to others? Is the way that I interact with the neighborhood who shows up on Wednesday night at a West End Wednesday dinner, is it a blessing to others? Is the way that I interact with my family a blessing to others? Is the way that I raise my children a blessing to others? Am I demonstrating that this transformation within me isn't just for me? This isn't about six ways to become a better person. This isn't about becoming your best self. This is about becoming the person who exists for the good of the world, to bless the community. The fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, righteousness is a church word, right? Righteousness isn't a word that we use much outside of church and outside of the Christian community. But righteousness is Paul's way of talking about how we respond to the standing that we have received of being right with God. Right, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have been made right with God. Now, what are we going to do about it? And so righteousness in the New Testament, when Paul talks about righteousness, he often means it in the way of how does my life demonstrate the power of Jesus' death and resurrection in my life? How does my life point to the reputation of Jesus Christ? How does my life point to the truth that Jesus died and rose again? Righteousness isn't just about making moral choices. Righteousness isn't just about being a good person. Righteousness isn't just about not telling lies or whatever you may think. Righteousness is about how does my life reflect the hope and truth of the death and resurrection of Jesus? How am I different? How do I know that I am on this journey becoming a new person when others look at me? Who do they see? Do they see Jesus? When others look at our church, who do they see? Do they see Jesus? There's an old story that somebody moved into town and asked a friend, hey, I want to find a new church. Where should I go? And so this guy sort of asked around, and everybody sort of said, you should go to one of these two churches. So the first week he went to one church, and he came back, and he's talking to his friend. His friend says, hey, what'd you think? He goes, oh, it was awesome, right? The preacher's message was amazing. It was an amazing church. He said, but I want to go to that other church too. And so the next week he goes to the other church, comes back and is talking to his friend. And his friend says, what did you think? He says, they worship an amazing Jesus. It's no secret, I think this is a pretty awesome church. But if all people see is an amazing church, then we haven't done our job. They need to see an amazing Jesus. They need to see an amazing Savior of the world. They need to see an amazing Messiah who has come to make everything right. How are we different? Do we point others to Jesus? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. And this goes back to what we talked about last week, right? Truth is not just about telling the truth. It's not just about not lying, but truth is about authenticity, about being honest about the fact that we are still on our way, that we're on this journey, we're becoming a new person. We're not there yet. And being willing and honest to admit that there is still darkness and brokenness in our lives, that there are still places where God is at work in our heart, molding us and shaping us and drawing us to Him, that there are still places where we are not yet who God wants us to be. The reality is we don't have to look far to find examples of followers of Jesus who pretended one thing, but in reality they had a secret life going on behind the scenes. And some people look at that and they say the church is nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. You know what? If we're not honest about our brokenness, then yeah, then we're a bunch of hypocrites. Because every single one of us is still on a journey of becoming who God is inviting us to be. None of us are there yet. None of us are yet who God has created us to be. None of us are yet like God in true righteousness and holiness, as we saw last week, which we see Paul says, live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. And the verb there, find out, in Greek is a participle in the present tense. And when a participle in Greek is in the present tense, it means that it is an ongoing, never done, habitual action that we are always doing. We are always finding out what pleases God. We are never, ever, ever done growing as followers of Jesus Christ. There's a paradox of being a follower of Jesus. And that is that the more we grow in spiritual maturity, the closer we come to being that person that God has created us to be, the more we find darkness still hanging on in our lives. Let me say that again. The closer we come to being the person who God has created us to be, the more we find darkness in our lives. That is, the more that we find the ways that we are not yet who God has created us to be. Because the closer we come to Jesus, the more we find that we are not Jesus. The more we get to know the heart of Jesus, the more we know that our heart is not Jesus. The more that we come to know who Jesus is and how He lived in this world and the perfection of Jesus, the more areas of our lives that we find are not perfection. So keep finding out what pleases God. Keep growing, keep learning, keep developing, keep asking God, how do I grow as your follower? Friends, if you are here and you're not sure where you stand with Jesus Christ, you can start on that journey today. You can make a commitment to Jesus and give your life to Him. But friends, I promise you, you will not be done. If you are here this morning and you are in the sunset years of your life, I promise you, you are not done growing as a follower of Jesus. If you are here and you are in the middle of that journey somewhere, you are not done growing as a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm becoming a new person. I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. But then Paul takes a twist and goes another direction, and it gets a little harder. In verses 12 through 14, he says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Because here's the thing. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Now, there have been some Christian communities over the years and over the centuries who have read these words and said, well, this means that we are supposed to withdraw from society and have nothing to do with anybody who isn't a follower of Jesus. We're supposed to cloister ourselves off into a community of people who are like us. We need to have nothing to do with that darkness out there. But remember what we said at the beginning of this sermon. Who is this paragraph addressed to? Who is Paul talking to? The church. This isn't about separating ourselves from people who aren't like us. Paul is talking to followers of Jesus who still have darkness in their lives. Because here's the thing. Church is not a social club. Church is not a social action committee. Church is not a family reunion. Church is a hospital. A hospital for people who are sick and wounded in their spirits, and who need to meet the master physician, Jesus, who need the healing and the wholeness and the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy that comes from Jesus. Church is a hospital for broken people who are on their way to becoming a new person but who aren't there yet. Church is a hospital for people who need to meet the Savior of the world. And even after we've met the Savior of the world, we aren't done with that healing journey. We aren't done with that journey of becoming who God wants us to be. Because in many ways, we're just getting started. And so when Paul says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, I don't think Paul is telling believers to get out of society and have nothing to do with unbelievers. No, Paul is being Nurse Apostle Paul and offering a prescription to the followers of Jesus to become more and more the children of light. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Recognize the darkness within our lives. Recognize the darkness that remains within our community. And I think we see that this is aimed at the community because of what Paul says at the end of this. He says, that is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, this is a really interesting verse, and here's why it's interesting. Right, whenever Paul says, it is said, he's introducing a quotation. And usually, when Paul says, it is said, and then he introduces a quote, that quote is from the Bible somewhere, right? And he's reminding them of something that has been said elsewhere in Scripture, except what Paul says here, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, that's not a Bible verse. There are some that are similar, but there's not a Bible verse that Paul is quoting. And yet he's clearly quoting something that he expects the church to know. And so scholars believe that when Paul says, it is said, wake up, he's actually quoting a song that they would have sung together as part of their worship, a song that the church in Ephesus would have known and sung together. You see, sometimes when we gather together for worship, we sing songs that are songs of praise, celebrating what God has done for us. Sometimes those songs are God giving us reassurance and hope and promising us that He has forgiven us and accepted us. But sometimes when we worship together, we sing songs that are for each other. They're songs that are meant to encourage each other, that are meant to invite each other to be more and more the person who God has created us to be. Exposing the fruitless deeds of darkness, what Paul is getting after here in these three verses, isn't about standing on a street corner and shouting, "Repent." It's not about standing and exposing the deeds of darkness of those outside of the church, but it's rather how do we deal with the fact that there is still darkness and brokenness within the body of believers. So how do we deal with each other differently? Two things. One, sometimes we just have to say nothing, but live as followers of Jesus. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Sometimes the most powerful thing that we can do in the face of the ongoing brokenness that still exists in the church is simply as much as we are able by the power of the Holy Spirit to live as that new person that God is inviting us to be. Because an amazing thing happens when we're surrounded by people whose natural impulse is to pray. We start to pray. An amazing thing happens when we're surrounded by people who speak openly and freely of the importance of their devotional life. We might find ourselves being drawn into that same practice. An amazing thing happens when we're surrounded by people who are passionate about reaching the lost and who make it a habit to keep on talking about how we need to reach those who don't yet know the love of Jesus Christ. When we're surrounded by people who are constantly saying, "How do we reach others with the love of Jesus Christ?" Before you know it, we find ourselves drawn into a desire to reach those who don't yet know the love of Jesus Christ. Sometimes the most powerful thing we can do in the face of the darkness that continues to live on in the body of believers is simply live as a follower of Jesus Christ and allow the light that shines from our life to do its own work. Allow God to use that light to inspire and to encourage and to invite somebody else to leave behind the darkness in their own life. But sometimes we have to do some really hard work. Because sometimes what we're dealing with, and sometimes the darkness that lives on in somebody else's life, is something that God puts on our heart that we need to graciously, lovingly confront. In the book of Matthew, this is the command that Jesus gives. He says, if somebody wrongs you, go to them, talk to them. Don't say it's fine when it's not. Don't pretend that everything's okay when it's not. Go and address it face to face with them. And believe me, this is hard. Because we have been inundated in a culture, particularly here in West Michigan, that tells us that the number one value is that we avoid conflict at all costs. That the last thing we should do is rock the boat, and we should instead take whatever it is we're feeling and push it down and not talk about it. At least not with the person who we actually need to talk about it with. But friends, sometimes the hard work that Jesus calls us to do as a community of believers is to have that come to Jesus talk with a fellow brother or sister in Christ and say, you need to know that what you're doing is wrong. Now, when we have to do that, it is important that it be done in the context of relationship. I used to manage a restaurant in college, and I remember the first time I ever got a letter from an angry customer. This customer had been angry about how long it took for their food to get to their table, and my response was to go into the kitchen, grab the ticket showing the time that their food had been ordered, showing the time on their receipt when they checked out, and I was like, see, you didn't wait that long. Not a good way to handle that. I was young. Now, when my boss pulled me into his office the next day, first thing he did was he had me read that letter. This was a letter from a guy I didn't know. The only interaction I had had with him had been quite negative. And I'm sure you can imagine that my response to his anger was to get defensive, to get angry, and to shut down at the idea of change. But then my boss with whom I had a relationship, my boss who knew me and knew my heart, my boss who wanted me to grow and learn from this experience, my boss walked me through it and said, hey, let me help you see this from a different perspective. Point is this. When we stand on the corner and we try to shout somebody down and expose the deeds of darkness in the absence of relationship, far from inviting them into the way that God wants them to live, it actually has the opposite effect. When we try to expose the deeds of darkness with a public social media blast, I don't think it's nearly as effective as when we sit down with somebody and say, I love you, you're my brother or my sister in Christ, but this is wrong. Because the fruitless deeds of darkness are the opposite of what the fruit of the light is, right? If the fruit of light is goodness that is generous and beneficial to others, we might sometimes have to say to somebody, I love you, but what you're doing is focused only on yourself. You're only concerned with taking care of your own needs instead of the good of the community. If the fruit of light is righteousness that is concerned with Christ's reputation, sometimes we need to say to somebody, I love you, but what you're doing is actually harming the reputation of Jesus Christ, because the Jesus that I see you presenting is not the Jesus of Scripture. If the fruit of light is truth and honesty and authenticity, sometimes we need to lovingly and graciously say to somebody, you're not being honest about what's going on in your life. But it starts in the context of relationship. To invite somebody to the fullness of life that God offers us. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up and realize the darkness that is still in your life that you haven't yet given over to God. Wake up and realize the darkness in your life that you haven't yet given over to God, that you haven't invited into the light of Christ. Wake up and give God every bit of who you are and find the light of Christ shining in your life. Wake up and give God your finances and find God breaking you free from the darkness that you might not even know is there. Wake up and give God your relationships and find the light of Christ shining in your relationships. Wake up and give God your emotions and find God shining the light of Christ in your emotions. Wake up and give God your addictions and find the freedom that comes from the light of Christ. Wake up and give God every bit of who you are. Rise from the dead. Because we worship a God of resurrection. We worship a God who gives us new life. We worship a God who brings light in the darkness. Wake up. Wake up. Friends, wake up. and find the light of Christ shining on you. Let's pray. God, where there is darkness in our lives, expose it to us. Where we need to wake up, help us to wake up, to get up, to find new life in you. God, where we are not yet that person that you have created us to be, God, give us new life, give us the hope, give us the light that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, help us to wake up, to rise, to get up, to rise to new life. God, may we become this new person. Help us to become this new person. And God, when you call us by our life to be a shining example, to expose the deeds of darkness by our life of light, we pray that you would use us to do so. God, if you're calling us to gently and graciously and lovingly come face to face with somebody and to challenge them and to say, we need to talk about this, God, give us the words to say. God, help us to bring forth the fruit of light in our lives. Help us to wake up. And wherever there is darkness still in our lives, God, help us to wake up and give it to you. Today, this week, every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray and we all say together. Amen. Invite you to